Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 26, The Hellish Planets, Text Number 37. My dear King Parikshit, in the province of Yamaraj, there are hundreds and thousands of hellish planets. The impious people I have mentioned, and also those I have not mentioned, must all enter these various planets according to the degree of their impiety. Those who are pious, however, enter other planetary systems, namely the planets of the demigods. Nevertheless, both the pious and impious are again brought to earth after the results of their pious activity, pious or impious acts are exhausted. Purport. This corresponds to the beginning of the Lord's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, Tata Dahantara Prapti. Within this material world, one is simply meant to change from one body to another in different planetary systems. Ordvam Gachati Sattvasta. Those in the mode of goodness are elevated to the heavenly planets. Ado Gachati Tamasa. Similarly, those who are too engrossed in ignorance enter the hellish planetary systems. Both of them, however, are subjected to the repetition of birth and death. And Bhagavad Gita is stated that even one who is very pious returns to earth after his material enjoyment in the higher planetary systems is over. Shene pune martya lokam vishati. Therefore, going from one planet to another does not solve the problems of life. Problems of life will only be solved when we no longer have to accept a material body. This can be possible if one simply becomes Krishna conscious. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tattvataha tyaktvadeham panarjanma naiti mam eti svarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but obtains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the perfection of life and the real solution to life's problems. We should not be eager to go to the higher heavenly planetary systems, nor should we act in such a way that we have to go to the hellish planets. The complete purpose of the material world will be fulfilled when we resume our spiritual identities and go back home, back to Godhead. The very simple method for doing this is prescribed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Dharma Prajaja Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja. One should be neither pious nor impious. One should be a devotee and surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. This surrendering process is also very easy. Even a child can perform it. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. One must always simply think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One should become a Krishna's devotee, worship him and offer obeisances to him. Thus one should engage all the activities of his life in the service of Lord Krishna. So the translation again. My dear King Parikshit, in the province of Yamaraj, there are hundreds and thousands of hellish planets. The impious people I have mentioned, and also those I have not mentioned, must all enter these various planets according to the degree of their impiety. Those who are pious, however, enter other planetary systems, namely the planets of the demigods. Nevertheless, both the pious and impious are again brought to earth after the results of their pious or impious acts are exhausted. Our philosophy always is a contrast. On one side, the horrors of the material existence. On the other side, the wonders of the spiritual existence. At least in the Bhagavatam, there's no mention of the wonders of material existence. on the horrors of the spiritual existence. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita that without understanding the miseries of old age, disease, and death, then there's no impetus to make spiritual progress. One of the disadvantages of going to the heavenly planets is that it's just too good. Just like if you're at a feast and you like all the preparations, and someone comes over and says, would you like to go and wash the pots? Probably it's not the first thing in your mind to wash the pots. You'd rather stay at the feast. Similarly, as long as we're thinking that we're enjoying the material world, no one would want to get out of the material world. But if we understand that we're suffering, then we're very much inclined to have an alternative. The conditioned soul in the material world is compared to the worm in the stool who's thinking he's actually having a good time. Food is free, it's hot, there's plenty of it, can share it with the whole family, no problem. Because the worm is not thinking he's suffering, he's thinking he's enjoying. So similarly, everyone in the material world, due to our lack of experience of what it's actually like to be conscious of Krishna, in the relative comparison, it seems that sometimes we're enjoying and sometimes we're suffering. But from the point of view of Krishna consciousness, then we're actually always suffering. But we can't understand that because we're covered by the illusory energy. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is trying to show us that life is not always so sweet in the material world. As a matter of fact, most people, as we can see from our practical point of view, most human beings don't make it to the heavenly planets. Most of them don't go back to the spiritual world. There is a great population of ants and trees, especially in Slovenia. There's quite a number of trees. And some of them were undoubtedly prominent persons in Slovenia in previous lives. How many kings are now trees in the forest around here? But they never thought about how the material nature works. Even if they tried to think about it, they wouldn't receive any answer anyhow, because there weren't probably so many sages preaching the Bhagavad Gita previously. But that doesn't mean the laws of material nature weren't working, or that they won't work in the future. The proof is how many trees there are. That the material nature works very systematically. And therefore, when it mentions here so many different lower planetary systems where Yamaraj awards results of sinful activities, we shouldn't think, oh, this is just meant to scare us. Actually, it would be good if we got a little scared. Generally, conditioned soul thinks it's all a mythology. These people are just trying to scare me. I'm not going to be scared. I'm going to do whatever I want. Or as Prabhupada said, one problem with the members of the Hare Krishna movement is that we're not sufficiently afraid of Maya. After all, we think, come on, Maya, let's get it on. But the alternative is also mentioned, that to understand Krishna, then we become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. Of course, to understand Krishna, we have to follow the process to become conscious of Krishna, of which the Hare Krishna mantra is quite prominent in this age. But there has to be qualities of chanting. Otherwise, Bahu Janma Kari Shravana Kirtana, we can go on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if we maintain our material conceptions, our material aspirations, then we won't make any progress in the chanting. The only thing that will be produced is more bile secretion. It might increase our appetite for more prasad. but without actually chanting offenselessly in the same mood as the spiritual, as the residents of Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, if we want to become fire, we have to become like fire. If we want to enter into fire, we have to become like fire, or else we'll get burnt. If one wants to enter into the ocean, one has to become like the fish in the ocean. Similarly, if we want to enter into the spiritual platform of existence, of consciousness, then we have to become spiritualized. We have to develop the same mood and consciousness as the residents of the spiritual world. Otherwise, if we don't have a compatible consciousness, it won't be possible to experience what they're experiencing. Therefore, there is a process of elevation from ignorance to passion to goodness and transcendence. But we have to make that endeavor, even to purify our activities. When Srila Prabhupada, when there was a, 1972 approximately, there was some aspiration on the part of the leadership in the society to centralize the management. Few leaders thought, if we can get all the money, we can spend it properly, and therefore all this waste will be eliminated. So they wanted to get everyone to give all their money to some central fund, and then that central fund would give out the money to everyone else. Unfortunately, they never inquired from Prabhupada whether he wanted that, and therefore Prabhupada told them to disband the GBC at that time, and that the temple president shall only listen to him. And he explained to one letter, he said to one of GBC member, he said, I see you're making these big, big, elaborate plans to centralize everything. But I don't see anything in your plans that will inspire devotees to wash their hands before they eat. That I see that there are many of our followers, before they eat, they don't even bother washing their hands. This is actually an important topic to discuss, Prabhupada said. Not making big, big plans to centralize everything. To bring us to the mode of goodness and transcendence, that's actually valuable. To make big, big, elaborate plans to conquer the universe, but we ourselves still have the same nature as the lowest lower classes of people, will not be very helpful. There are already enough demons trying to conquer the universe. We have to become pure devotees. And if we become pure devotees, Prabhupada said, or as his spiritual master said, then he would consider the movement to be successful. Certainly the number of books we distribute, certainly the number of devotees made, temples open, is important. But it's all reflected, or it's all the purpose of all of it, is that someone will become a pure devotee, or a number of devotees. The devotees will become purified and become conscious of Krishna. We're not chanting Hare Krishna just to get 16 rounds done. We're chanting Hare Krishna so we can think about Krishna. Of course, the tendency of the conditioned souls always take a shortcut. Well, if I'm supposed to think about Krishna, why bother chanting Hare Krishna? I'll just chant 16 rounds and think about Krishna. As if the Hare Krishna mantra is something separate from Krishna and we have to avoid it because it'll contaminate my consciousness while I'm trying to think about Krishna. No, we should chant in such a way that spontaneously we'll remember Krishna. But that's not so easy because we're easily distracted by our thoughts. And if we analyze our thoughts, our thoughts are generally about our future in the material universe. We're always in anxiety, what's going to happen to my body? Because we know what's going to happen to our body. We won't have to mention it. But we're always in anxiety, what's going to happen today? What's going to happen tomorrow? I tried so hard to have a good day yesterday, but so many obstacles came. And hopefully, you know, I can surpass the obstacles today. So next week I'll have something good to eat. So we're always in anxiety. Now Krishna says, Masuchaha, he doesn't appreciate the fact that we're in anxiety. We may think we're good persons because we're suffering, and we should get the sympathy of others, put on Facebook how I'm suffering, and people can tell me how they're suffering, and we smile at each other, yes, we're equally suffering. But Krishna doesn't appreciate people suffering in the material world. He said, give up masujaha, don't worry. We're addicted to worrying. As a matter of fact, as soon as we chant Hare Krishna, then we become aware of all the different anxieties we have. But we should give them up because they're all useless. They won't actually help us progress in spiritual consciousness. One should become aloof from all these material conceptions and thoughts. Instead, one should just try to improve one's hearing and chanting so that one can actually chant with some attention and some feeling. Then, when we're attentive and feeling, then there's every possibility of actually thinking about Krishna. And in order to do that, we should think about the instructions that we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada and his representatives so that we're not just chanting to get our rounds done, we're chanting to perfect our chanting. In order to do that, we have to remember the instructions. It's not we're just going to chant any which way, and somehow or another we'll wind up in perfection. We'll just wander into perfection by some good fortune. Now we have to remember the instructions coming down into civil succession, how to chant offenselessly, and if we're chanting, remembering the instructions, conscious of the instructions, then our chanting will improve and we'll get the association of those who are actually instructing us. We'll get their association, their good example of how they're chanting offenselessly, and therefore we can also become offenseless chanters and get the association of the devotees and our acharyas in disciple succession, and ultimately come to the perfection of the chanting, which is to chant in the same mood of feelings of love and separation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Panchatattva, and their followers. Otherwise, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's certainly valuable, but it's certainly not the same value as if we're actually chanting in the mood of separation, following the footsteps of the Panchatattva, getting their association. We may have a little bit of love and feeling, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's a little bit of a drop from his heart of love and ecstasy and separation from Krishna and his associates can flood the whole universe with Krishna prema. So we shouldn't be so much overwhelmed by our tiny little existence, thinking it's certainly worthy of my noting it, and perhaps others should also note my little tiny insignificant existence and appreciate it. But instead we should choose someone significant and note their existence, their love and separation from Lord Krishna, and try to put them within our consciousness and not worry so much about our tiny little endeavor, our plans for the future, the material existence, because ultimately it'll all be lost in the course of time. There are so many people with nice gravestones, so we don't have to add to them. Even if we don't get a nice gravestone, we can still go back to Godhead. And we may think these people are resting in peace, but who knows where they are right now? They're certainly not resting underneath the gravestone. And most of them are probably not very much in peace right now. Therefore, we should make plans to put Krishna in the center, put Krishna's representatives in the center, try to fulfill the mission of human life, and tolerate the miseries of material existence. Because if we tolerate them, and we become conscious of Krishna, then there won't be any more material existence. Instead, it will be pure spiritual existence. And it says, one will... goes on, Po Divyam Putraka Yena Sattvam Shidyat Tasmai Brahma Sokyam Turantam. That spiritual existence is divine and it's ever increasing and it goes on forever. Certainly something to endeavor for. Everything else we've prove to be a disappointment eventually. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Someone may wonder why we keep on. Every verse is the same philosophy. It's not like there's some unusual, even in the fifth canto describing hell, more or less the same purport as there. Because although we may think we've heard it before, actually we haven't heard anything yet. Our hearing has to be developed so that one day when we hear it, it actually enters into our heart and we actually accept it. There's a difference between just hearing and accepting. First of all, we have to hear and then try to understand, and eventually we might accept and follow it strictly. But that takes some time. Therefore, we have to hear again and again. And we can see that those who don't hear again and again, they disappear. Not to Vrindavan generally, or Mayapur. We hear what's called a bloop. When a little drop of water enters back into the ocean, it makes a sound called bloop. So when the conditioned soul doesn't hear enough about the miseries of material existence, and on the other side about the glories of spiritual existence, then the tendency is to become lazy and not being cautious or careful, and therefore get involved with the senses and the mind and become entangled in the three modes of material nature and go out to the material world searching for happiness there rather than going through the process of Krishna consciousness to eventually actually be able to have a purified heart where Krishna can actually appear with his associates. Yes.
Can you explain more about chanting in the mode of separation?
Well, first of all, we have to chant because we're already feeling the mood of separation. Usually it's from the sense objects. Just like now, some devotees will fast for Shivas Thakur's appearance today. So I'm sure until they take prasadam, they'll feel some separation from prasadam. So that's also a kind of feeling of separation. Now, it's difficult to feel separation from Krishna because we don't know Krishna. We don't know him that much. We have little experience of Krishna. So why should we feel any separation? We generally feel separation from things that will satisfy our material desires. Therefore, we have to chant attentively so that we actually get Krishna's association. The more chanting we do attentively and feelingly, the more Krishna becomes pleased and reveals himself. Then when we experience Krishna, then we'll feel separation from him. So we don't have to pretend that we're separated. Our consciousness is already separated. But we have to chant in such a way as we chant attentively and with some feelingly. And then when Krishna is pleased and he reveals himself a little bit to us, then we'll feel separation because we'll feel a higher taste. Then we'll become inspired to chant more attentively and more feelingly, and gradually Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes will be remembered spontaneously as we feel more and more separation from Krishna. So the feeling will be arisen not because we want to feel separation, but because we follow the process and Krishna reveals himself, and spontaneously and concurrently with Krishna revealing himself, then those feelings of separation will develop. So it depends upon our sincerity in following the process, Krishna revealing himself, and then the feelings of separation will be revealed to us. It's not something we can just do on our own. Generally speaking, we have to associate with those who are already feeling separation for us to feel separation.
Anything else?
Yes.
How do we become more afraid of mind?
Just stick around in the material world. Maya will give us enough reasons to be afraid of her. Just become a little proud. Challenge Maya. She'll come by and she'll meet the challenge. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.